All right, so Bjorn Johnson, we've talked to him before. He is a multi-talented, multi-hyphenate actor, director, teacher, stagecoach. Stagecoach?
And my wheels are killing me.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 150, All Podcasts Considered. By the time you hear this, the nominations for the 2009 Podcast Awards will have closed. Hopefully, we will have received a nomination, and hopefully I'll soon be pestering you to vote for us for a podcast award. But the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast is about to celebrate its third anniversary, and that, plus the Podcast Award nominations, means there will be some new listeners checking out the podcast for the first time. So it seemed like a good time to review the story of the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast so far. And Bjorn Johnson, the actor, director, fight choreographer, and scene coach, whose introduction I screwed up earlier, has also become a bit of a podcastologist. He sat down with me recently to talk about the things he likes and looks forward to each week in the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Well, first of all, who doesn't want to be on the road? I mean, like, ever since we saw what Toby Tyler goes to the circus as kids, I think I don't know anyone who doesn't want to be on the road. And also, just on a personal level, because I had a near-death experience of almost being cast in the RSC at one point, just listening to it, you know, it lets me feel like what it must kind of like be like to be one of you guys out there doing RSC shows.
And particularly for you, the whole podcast is a great big there, but for the grace of God. Yeah. Actually, when we set out to start the podcast, that's what you just said is exactly what we wanted to do, was kind of capture what it is behind the scenes, backstage of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, which is harder to do in some weeks than others because we're not always on the road 52 weeks a year.
Right.
So we have to talk about other things that are going on and interview, you know, almost Reduced Shakespeare Company members like yourself.
Reduced from the lineup.
But so to hear you say that is great. But we have it's funny the things that we will get responses to, that the podcasts that have nothing to do with the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah.
That just have art. I mean, were there any of those that sort of leapt out at you?
Yeah. Well, I've actually shared the story with other people about the horrible time when Lady Di was killed, and one of you guys overheard a cop talking to a bouncer in front of a strip club, and they're saying, "How's business?" It's down. It's always the odds that suffer. So, for instance, that's hilarity.
Okay. Well, and you know, sometimes we'll do. We did a podcast about our dearly beloved Matt Croak, who lost his wife to cancer. A year and a half ago, got some of the most lovely reactions from people all over the world. And at times I go, well, is that out of the purview of the podcast? No, it's not, because it's something that's happening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and therefore I think it's personal. I mean, we say that the podcast is a bit like an arts and culture podcast through the eyes, through this reduced prism. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I have no idea how it holds up week to week.
Well, I think there's something engaging about the podcast format that's very different than news, straight news radio, mm-hmm. or music entertainment radio, or television, right. Is that I think somehow in the podcast / radio format, you know, the listening format, there's a familiarity that's created between, that I feel, with the guys. Like, a lot of these guys in the RSC, I've never met.
Right.
I know you, I've met Reed, I knew Adam, you know, mm-hmm. I know, but I feel like I've got a relationship with these voices because I sit there listening to sort of the ongoing stories and the near-death experiences of airplanes and people getting, you know, vomiting in Hong Kong. And, you know, so you guys go on these, like, adventures. And so those are some of the highlights for me. I really like listening when you're somewhere else, especially, like, you know, I know a lot of the places you're talking about, but I love listening to the podcast about Rochester, New York, at whatever that poor besotted university.
Nazareth College, yes.
I mean, How many times do you talk about NASA? I have an image in my head that's probably wholly inaccurate.
Well, it's interesting that you call it holy. And holy, we've built it up in sort of, it's retained sort of mythic status within the, with
that's
the,
great. And I don't, you know, I don't want to.
We almost died getting there, but we killed when we got there.
That could be a T-shirt.
It could be. Nazareth College. You'll die getting here, but kill once you're here.
Yeah, the marketing possibilities. Who does your marketing?
Yeah, sadly, me.
Oh. See, and you're too busy.
Well, but this is the whole thing, too, about the whole, and I have to apologize right here because I'm now realizing that this entire podcast is going to be one long, giant look up my own rectum, you know, as we talk about this thing that I do week after week.
It's a lovely pink color, so.
Thank you. It's lovely and healthy. Ouch! You don't need to do that. But it is part of the whole social media interaction that theater companies, well, not just theater companies, public radio announcers, yeah. Writers, comics, comedians, actors of all stripes are diving into things like podcasts and websites and chat rooms and Facebook and more recently Twitter. You know, these are the kinds of things that keep that dialogue going with your audience. I just want to make sure that the dialogue is interesting.
It is. All right. So favorite things.
Okay.
Like I say, like the insight into the backstage, the incidents that happen, the tales of the road, as it were.
Right.
Remind me which gentleman it was in Chicago who fell and destroyed Noah's Ark.
Oh, that was Jerry Kearney in San Francisco.
See, I'll never forget it. It was Jersey Kearney, and it was in Chicago, and he fell into the set and broke it all. There was a boat on stage. But literally, the story of the poor bastard, you know, having to run around the hotel. True guess, but the picture of him like landing on the stairs and the boat exploding, and then the stage manager going back in search of pairs of zebra? I don't know.
And I think they're still digging out the dent in the staircase from where Jerry fell.
Apparently, half the ship was gone when they went back for it.
They went back for it. The concierge of the hotel had, "Are these your animals?"
and him standing there looking at this destroyed boat that he's got to bring on stage in a moment and going, get the animals, go on stage, get the animals, go on stage. For instance, I love that. And the aforementioned flight into Rochester.
Yeah.
And the Hong Kong, the recent Hong Kong stories were just great.
Mm.
The day off, the touring,
yeah.
And I don't think you can do enough of that. I mean, you don't have to be a travel channel, but
right.
I'm really interested when you go there. I listen for 20 minutes and I feel like I got a piece of Hong Kong. That's awesome.
Well, that is cool. I mean, the reason I felt good about starting the podcast at all a couple of years ago, I was like, can I maintain this? This is going to be like podcast 150. We're almost up to our third year of weekly podcasts.
I know. I've gone through several earbuds, and my lobes are bleeding.
But I thought the only thing that made me think I could actually do this week after week is that I have so much fun talking with the people that I encounter as either as part of the Reduce Shakespeare Company or in our travels with the Reduce Shakespeare Company. It's fun to share those conversations because they're always, well, they're not always. The boring ones I leave out, I hope. But we work with some fantastically fun people, and we know like fantastically fun people like yourself. And I think these conversations, I hope these conversations are interesting to the general hoi polloi, the masses.
Yo, he said hoi polloi. That's so cool. I think they're interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like... other highlights of things like these, going back to several early ones, but like the one you did on firsts, that was an early one too.
Oh, like first people, times.
Yeah, your first times.
First times on stage.
Yeah,
it wasn't about sex. It was about performances. Yeah.
Oh, I misunderstood. No, you're all having your first time of sex on stage.
No, that was a couple weeks ago. The RSE sexy.
You're not listening to these things when I'm going to sleep at night. Gosh. Well, it's not my favorite one anymore. No, I like that one very much. When people talking about the first time making it out on stage with an RSE show, that was cool.
Well, and one of my favorites is just whenever we can have an honest conversation about something that is really something we talk about on stage and make it interesting. For instance, Dustin Sullivan is an actor who's worked with us many times. But he's never actually performed with me and Reed, who are actually the writers and the directors and the of the show, All the Great Books of Bridge, and the owners of the company. So he's actually, I've done the show on tour for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now I'm working with the bosses. What's right. that like? But, you know, we were able to talk about it in such a way where he was able to issue that SOS for help from his fellow actors and say, I'm now working with the bosses. What the hell do I do?
Well, this is cool, though, when new guys come in like that and you talk to them, is hearing their process of being put in, some faster and some slower.
Yeah.
But really, besides getting to know the new guys, which is cool and fun,
yeah.
We also get, as an audience, we get a real insight into what your rehearsal, the chaotic rehearsal. Oh, by the way, we're sitting in your backyard right now, which is where you've done much of aforementioned rehearsal,
exactly.
right? Is it harder to rehearse now that your son is older and you don't have the plastic bats lying around?
It is. They don't play with as much of stuff, which is why we're incorporating more iPods and YouTube videos.
Hi, I'm Mike Collins, host of Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE in Charlotte, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
And now, it's time for RSEQ and A.
We got this letter from a podcast listener named Peter, who goes by the name Horse and Knave on our chat page at ReduceShakespeare.com. And he says, Dear fine folk of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, I am a stumbler. I stumbled across your Shakespeare DVD a few years ago, and I loved it from the start. Recently, I stumbled across your podcasts on iTunes. Thanks so much for making all of them available. I'm listening to them in order, and they are fire trucking fantastic. I just got up to the podcast where Austin was talking about the podcast awards, and he mentioned that This American Life placed ahead of the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast in the 2007 and 8 contests. I was a little ticked off at the news, and I interrupted my listening pleasure to write you this message. I think that This American Life is an excellent program. However, it's initially produced as a radio program and not as a podcast. I believe that it should not be included in podcast awards. I don't think it's fair to have a contest that combines quote-unquote real podcasts like yours with programs that are initially produced for other media. Ira Glass should have withdrawn from the contest, or better yet, NPR should broadcast your podcasts on the radio. Yeah, that's the ticket. I'll definitely vote for you, silly bardsmen and women, in the next contest. Oh, and I'm also going to buy all of your merchandise. Do you sell humorously large cod pieces? I'd like one with Reed's face on it. Thanks for the laughs, Peter. Well, thank you, Peter, for your opinions, which I have no opinion about whatsoever. But in answer to your question, no, we don't currently sell humorous cod pieces of any size. But if we start, we will definitely make sure to put Reed's face on them. And now back to Bjorn Johnson, who was telling me about how we fit into his exciting podcast lifestyle.
Living in Los Angeles, we're driving all the time.
Yeah.
And we're getting to and from auditions, and we're driving all the time. So my reading has gone down a lot. But I have expanded my listening life.
Okay.
Mucho. So RSC is in my car. But the other thing about the podcast, too, is that you guys have such a vibrant following. Like, it's, you know, people who know your shows, love knowing your shows. It reminds me very much on this, the anniversary of Monty Python,
yeah.
about how when I was in high school in Chicago in 1974, mm-hmm. roughly, mm-hmm. In the mid-70s,
right.
I remember in junior high maybe, or whatever 40 years ago it was, mm-hmm. Stumbling upon Monty Python's Flying Circus on the educational channel. It was on Channel 2.
Right.
And going nerds myself and finding, like, you know, the few very sincerely like-minded individuals.
Right.
And you guys have that kind of vehement following, I think. Because when I mention you to someone in passing or I'll quote a joke or something, a right. gag of yours, uh-huh. Over cocktails somewhere.
Right.
And you see a head come up somewhere, and you go, okay,
another one.
A potty. You know?
There's another reducer. And that's enormously gratifying, and we have followers on Twitter. I just had one last night saying, we just did a cutting of your America show for a debate thing somewhere. When's a Hollywood script being published? We
and
can't wait to do that.
And we're not paying you.
Yeah,
we don't, We don't get paid for debate things. I mean, for those little things that, you know, they're not charging any admission, so that's sort of free to use. But again, that sort of thing, people, I wish our followers might be as vehement. I don't think they're as numerous, sadly. But yeah, you are, and they're all over the world.
I don't think you're being fair, really. And I'm not just blowing rainbows up your skirts, but how many, like, think of it, how many RSC shows are you doing every year? And this is even a slow year for entertainment.
Right, right.
You guys are really, really out there.
Well, that's true as well. And again, it's a thing that's hard to quantify, which is why, you know, we go out to the lobby after every show and, you know, we sign autographs and we meet people and we shamelessly hawk our merchandise. And, you know, but you can only stand in one lobby. And in some theaters, like the MacArthur Theater, there's like six or eight exits out the building. We can't possibly stand at every exit, so we can't say hello to everybody. So, I mean, it's one reason why we stand out in the lobby, why we do the podcasts, why we have a Facebook presence, why we have a web page and a chat page at reduceshakespeare.com, why we tweet is to stand at every exit,
right,
to try to talk to our audiences wherever they're hanging out, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's via the podcast or whether they just buy a ticket and come see the show and talk to us there, which is also gratifying. You know, they'll say, we didn't buy anything. Would you sign our ticket? I went, you bought that ticket? Absolutely. But there is something, getting back to what you were saying about the podcast aesthetic, mm-hmm, is that there is stuff that's fun for the Reduced Shakespeare Company to do that doesn't fit in a stage show.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit in a book. It
mm-hmm
doesn't fit on a recording. But it's perfect for a podcast. And it's fun to do that and fun to share it. So in that sense, it really is a creative burst of Reduced, you know, all week. Every week.
Yeah, and also to that end, as you're saying that, because you said that, I'd like to delve into that further. I would like to hear on one of your podcasts. Well, you've done little snippets like that Hong Kong interview was lovely,
mm-hmm,
the recent one.
Yeah.
But I'd like to really hear an in-depth interview of you, because you're a great interviewer, Austin. But you're always interviewing everybody else. I think a great podcast would be turning it over to someone and letting them grill you for a change.
Well, as much as I loathe to discuss my own self. So enough about me. What else do you like about me and my Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast?
Well, one of the things I like about your format that just makes me giggle every week, and maybe I'm weird, but no, I am weird.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes me giggle every week is the Lowell Thomas Remembers music that goes into the cards and letters.
Yes, right.
That is so self-important. It just, I giggle every week.
Well, and I love doing that voice.
I wish you would do more of those.
More what?
More of the interviews with just people who are like-minded individuals who aren't necessarily RSC performers, but like you being on with Weird Al Yankovic, Mr. Yankovic to me.
Yeah. I call him Weird.
It was outstanding.
Yeah.
It was outstanding because someone else said that they, is Austin like they go to high school together or something?
Right.
Which is, it's not, you know, first of all, you're very conversant and you know, very amiable, but also he's your brethren, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Weird Al is a pro at all these kinds of interviews.
Has he done interviews before, do you think?
I think he kind of has. And so he just plays along really well. He's a good comic. He's a good improviser.
Yeah,
he just plays along. And I'm enough of a fan. I'm a huge fan. So I am conversant in kind of his oeuvre, if you pardon the expression.
Yeah.
So that's the trick as well. And the other trick is that I really only hit up Weird Al is like the person I know the least that I've actually hit up for an interview.
Well, take a hint. Do it again.
You're right.
We love it out here.
All right.
We
cool.
love it out here.
Cool.
Me and my car and me falling. So the problem is when I get a really good interview like that and I'm listening to it as I'm going to bed,
mm-hmm,
which is my other time I catch up on my my podcast, it keeps me up.
Oh, yeah.
So save the funny. You should put little stars on the super, super excellent funny ones like that so we don't try to listen to them at night.
Okay.
So it goes way back. It's an early one, but my favorite RSC, contrary to everything we said about loving to hear the backstage stuff and hear about the moldy costumes, which you didn't mention that I love, and hear about the, you know, inner workings and the women of the RSC, and hear about the contributions from the various Zeppos and hearing about your travel, and I mean all that detail is so much fun. And my favorite RSC podcast moment has nothing to do with any of them.
Uh-oh.
No, the favorite one is your kids swearing Elizabethan. That is fire trucking funny. That's been I've played that for other people. I've actually, it just sounds horribly geeky, but I've actually played it for cocktails. I played that to people for cocktails, and I have a friend who's got it looped on his Facebook page. I mean, his MySpace page.
Wow.
So.
Wow, that's impressive on two levels. One, that he's still on MySpace.
But he's a musician.
He's a musician. Yeah, that's where they live.
That's a musician thing.
That's cool. Well, that's good. If somebody wants to do a remix of My Daughter Daisy going, it's fine, trucking brilliant.
God, it's really, really hilarious. I love that.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your podcast analysis and swear word remixes via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com, become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, podcast analyzer Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Simon Shepherd. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Mike Collins from NPR affiliate WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll be playing at the Blumenthal Center next week. We'll also be playing at Meadville College in Pennsylvania and Duke and East Carolina Universities in North Carolina on this upcoming leg of the Fall 2009 American Tour. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for more venue and ticket information. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 450th of the Reduce Shakespeare Company.
That's something else I love in the podcast is to see who's going to be, you know, doing the little celebrity moment.
Oh, really?
Okay. It's just hilarious. Because you go, sometimes it's like, oh, it's so good to hear from so-and-so again. But more often than time, it's like, how do they bribe that guy?
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.